Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 18th of August. We've got one more show and the month's over.
That's it. And then we got Labor Day coming up.
Yeah, Labor Day.
And that's going to
be... I always thought the Indianapolis 500 was on Labor Day, but they moved it.
Well, everything's moved. You know what I heard today? The big boat parade down here, you know, that annual event that brings in millions of dollars for the city has been canceled. Part of it. I don't really understand why. Well, one of the reasons...
You're not 6 feet. You're way beyond 6 feet of each other.
Well, I think one of the big reasons is that there is... funding for that raises millions of dollars with the Winterfest Black Tie Ball that I go to every year, and I don't think you could do that. So therefore, if you don't have the funding, you can't do the parade.
Why don't they change it to Winterfest, you said?
Yeah, Winterfest Boat Parade.
Winterfest Black Mask Ball.
Oh, we could do that, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or virtual, like the Democratic convention.
I'll do that. Yeah, that horrible dead convention. There's nobody's watching any of these canned speeches that are recorded. This is the worst convention in the history of conventions.
It's only second to that mic that you're using tonight.
Well, now what?
Is it the same mic you always use?
Yeah.
It's missing something. It seems like you're it's not crisp and clear and crackly, and you come over all mostly, you know, with it almost sounds like a compressor on there. It sounds like. You know, and then we recompress it. But we'll just go with it. I'll work on, make sure I'm getting your sound right here. Yeah, I'm getting you. All right. We'll see what it sounds like after the fact. I'll pump you up a little bit here. All right. Let's talk about the markets running a little bit late tonight. Last big week of earnings is this week. We saw several retailers come in, some good, some bad. The big boxes like the ones that you find in malls not doing so well, whereas companies like Home Depot and Lowe's Out Tomorrow and Walmart, of course, doing pretty well. We have Postal Service defunding or not defunding, or mailboxes disappearing or not disappearing, or some crap going on. China trade talks are postponed. Biden selects his Veep, and we'll see where that has an effect on the markets. Maybe Tesla, the rally continues, which is pretty interesting. And
Tesla.
Yep. And we have a Wuhan pool party.
The Wuhan flu party, you said?
The Wuhan pool party.
Pool party?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to run against the Democrats?
I don't know. Maybe. They'd win. You're still sounding a little bit low, by the way, just as a point of reference.
You want me just to jerk up the volume a little bit like this? And I sound better.
Go ahead, do it.
I did.
Oh. I don't know. I don't know.
Very disturbing.
Yeah. It's just not the same richness and getting complaints from the chat room and all that. So I don't know what's going on there. All right, let's talk about a market update. Nothing seems to seemingly phase markets at all, and nothing seems to be too concerning for anybody. I mean, we get the virus, the China situation. We have the eco situation. We have earnings. We have elections. It's all good. Seems like investors pretty much like it. Yeah. The only thing that investors now could want, I think, what could investors really want to grab onto would be all day market, which they kind of have with futures, I guess. But it'd be nice if 24 hours, you know, you do have like the SPY trades 24 hours, very thin, but it does trade 24 hours a day.
Well, if they open it up to 24 hour trading, it would pick up and it'd be pretty even, I think, for the 24 hours.
Yeah, but they could trade futures. I guess they're doing that. They're trading the futures instead.
Yeah, but that's not the same.
Yeah. NASDAQ makes new highs. The S&P closing in actually closed ever so slightly above the all-time high today. Dow Jones Industrial Average needs some work. Fed minutes coming out tomorrow. We're expecting them remaining dovish. And inflation. Now, we saw his PPI last week come out hot. So we saw CPI, the consumer inflation, come out kind of hot this year, this month. But still, it's still the same as PPI. When we talked about that, where it's on a year-over-year basis, it's still very under trend, I'll call it. And now that the S&P has eclipsed its all-time high that is set back in February, guess what? The bear market is officially over.
Oh,
seriously.
Geez.
Yep, it's over.
There was a bear market in play?
Yeah, now you're too loud. Yes, there was.
Now I'm too loud?
Well, you're not coming across loud, to be honest with you. What you're coming across is overmodulating.
You know what's happening? I know what happened.
What happened?
Well, since I had this other thing rigged in there, and then Skype made its adjustments with that in mind, and then when I unhooked everything and put it back together in the old-fashioned way, it still has the old adjustments. You actually have to recall me.
Oh. Okay, I'll recall you. Calling you back. I got to call John back. We're going to keep on running with the tape here, by the way. We're going to run, and we're going to see how this goes. I'm calling him back. See, that sounds good.
Now I'll sound much better.
You sound much better now.
I told you.
I could turn this down a little bit, actually. That was weird. Okay.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing it's just something you have to deal with.
Yeah, you sound much better. I mean, it's still a little bit light, but that's fine. It's fine. It's what it is. But it sounds very good compared to what it was. All right, here's a question for you. Pop quiz, ready?
Yeah.
What is, look at the bass on you. Oh my God, that's fantastic. What is Bezos, Gates, Zuckerberg, Musk?
Bezos, Gates, Zuckerberg, Musk. That's a something.
Well, what? Let me give you this hint. It's an order of something.
Douchebag factor?
Well, the douchebag is correct. They're all high on that list. But these are the richest people in the world right now. Bezos, number one, Gates, Zuckerberg, and Musk is now number four.
That's ludicrous.
In the world. He made $73 billion this year. I mean, Bezos made $188 billion this year, or he's worth $188 billion. He made some crazy numbers going on with this. So, but that follows with the Groundhog Day that's going on right now. You know, you have all the same stocks moving up in tandem: Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, Tesla. This concentration, I'll call it concentration risk. It appears to be growing steadily.
Where you have strange.
Yeah, well, and that's why the markets are moving up so well. You have still the underbelly of the market underperforming.
What goes up must come down. I hate to say it.
Well, nobody seems to be at all concerned about that. It's like every day.
Always a bad sign.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm even getting to the point like, all right, what's going on? Well, let's just wait 10 minutes and the market will be up from here. It's unbelievable, the bid in the market right now. It really is. I mean, we haven't seen a significant, we haven't seen a reasonable drop. 1% over a couple of days, like, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, not happening. But anyway, I think that we are overinflated. I think there is way too many people on the bullish side right now. And several of my indicators are flashing that we're getting pretty hot, not to a point of when I was panicking that one day. Remember when I said it was like a +7? What the hell? Got to get out. You know, and then it came down 1800 points like 2 days later. But there's some other things that are happening. Also interesting, a lot of changes. For example, over the weekend, Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha. Everybody has to have a name, right? The Oracle of Omaha. He and his company, Berkshire Hathaway, provided insight into their recent investments through the 13F. So here's what they did. This is really kind of interesting. They lowered stakes in Wells Fargo. Finally, he dropped his stake in Wells Fargo, and J.P. Morgan, and he totally eliminated his stake in Goldman Sachs.
Huh, that's interesting, because there have been some people floating around saying Goldman Sachs is going to be a target to get wiped out.
I mean, I don't know what's going to really put that to the. I mean. If these banks didn't get wiped or really hurt too badly, the problem you have is the potential for bad loans and delinquencies and problems with, you know, that. I mean, the rest of the house is looking pretty good from an investment banking standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Wells Fargo is having so much problem. They don't do the investment banking. They don't do that kind of thing. So they've had a real problem. But it seems that what we're having now is a big change. So they went from these cash cows, these banks that he's loved for years, right? That's where he started, really, in the whole financial insurance area. That's what made him really wealthy. And he's held these steaks for a long time. So what he did was he sold those and got rid of a bunch of those. You know what he bought? He bought like
Tesla.
500 million or 20.9 million shares of the Toronto-based Barrick Gold Corp, one of the largest mining companies in the world for gold, thinking, if you think about what he did, he got rid of the low interest rate, Fed pedal to the metal, stagflation problematic positions, and went into inflation, low interest rate for the long haul position of gold.
I think that's pretty radical for him.
Really radical. So a lot of people saying it wasn't him. A lot of people saying, oh, it's the guys that work for him inside. But it's still 500 million. I don't think that Berkshire, which is run by Munger and it's run by Warren Buffett, that they would really, they're starting to hand the reins over because they're getting up there in age, obviously. But I don't know if this is something that, especially with the names like the banks, that he would have allowed just to be cut, especially Goldman. So interesting little situation.
He's battening down the hatches.
Yeah. So we talked about these triple levered or these leveraged ETFs a lot.
Yes.
And there's one of them. And talk about how some of them are not really, they got some problems. They don't really work very well, especially those in some commodity areas. Well,
they tend to naturally deteriorate.
They do. Right. Exactly. But this one, remember about a month ago, we talked about Credit Suisse was starting to take some of these off the market. They're closing them down. Well, here's what happened. This is unbelievable. Credit Suisse decided instead of just taking it, just closing it, they delisted it, which means it's still kind of tradable under a different symbol. You put an F after the symbol. And then there's no new shares created or redeemed. And this thing was just kind of just sitting out there. And I don't exactly know why. Maybe because all the people sold and there was only a few shares outstanding and something. I don't know exactly what happened. But this chart is berserk. Now, you can see all these. These are over on the show notes for DH Unplugged, episode number 519. So you can go over there, dhplugged.com, and check these out. But this went from on August 11th at, let's call it, $75 a share. It shot up to $26,000 a share in a matter of 2 days. How bizarre is that?
And that just, well, it's moving down now. What's the deal with that?
Well, everybody realized that something's wrong with this. I don't know what happened here.
Something's wrong with this, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it was a fat finger, but that doesn't make sense because it would have been a one spike and done and out. It was kind of.
You wouldn't have bind one. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Right.
8 up moves.
And this is a 30-minute bar. So somebody was buying this like crazy. I mean, not just buying. I mean, it went from 3,000 to 4,000, 6,000, 8,000, 7,000. I mean, people were going crazy with this. The symbol was, what is it? DGAZF. D-G-A-Z-F. This was the gas fund. I think it was a negative. It just went crazy. And this, again, this is Credit Suisse again. They seemingly have big problems with, you know, managing these funds. And I'm glad they're taking them off the market because it could really put people in a big pickle.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a great chart.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It's so, still way up there.
I mean, somebody needs to sue some of these companies and, you know, that are offering these kind of things and recklessly just leaving them languish in the markets and letting investors do real damage to themselves. I mean, obviously the damage, you could say, well, somebody made some money, but I mean, then it went from 26,000 down to what? Well, I don't know where it is today. Let's see where it is today. Control T, D, G, what is it? D, S, F.
Let's see. Z, F.
It's 15,000 today. It's up 400% today. It's up 12,000 today. I mean, still, wait, hold on. That was August 12th. So it's closed. It's done. It's out. It hasn't traded.
Oh, so they pulled the plug on it.
Yeah, they finally pulled the plug, but too late. And somebody's stuck with the bag here. Probably some small investors think they were, wow, look what I got. And it was, you know, they found this somewhere and they said, wow, this is moving up. Let me get a piece of this. Hopefully they got out. Speaking of small investors, Robinhood. Retail investors, no question about this, they're trading. And we know about this because it's being talked about on every newspaper, every financial.
CNBC.
It's unbelievable. So Robinhood saw 4.3 million daily average revenue trades, which are called DARTs, in June. This is what they told CNBC. Now, this is a private company, so you can't really, you know, get a lot of information out of them.
Yeah, they could be lying.
I'm assuming they're not lying. They just don't usually give out information. So this is the first time they put out their monthly totals. Their debut total was higher than all of the major incumbent brokerage firms like E-Trade, Charles Schwab, and TD Ameritrade. Unbelievable. Now, what's really interesting about this is they're not going to provide any. First of all, they're going to stop providing data on which stocks are held by Robinhood accounts. This is something that I think there's something called RobinTrack. You can go there and find out what stocks are held. And usually when you see a stock that moves up a lot, it's like all of a sudden they rush into it in that day. And you can see that day, the spike in how many people. They say it's the data is reported by third parties and can be misconstrued or misunderstood.
Yeah. Well, or if you want to call it that, or speculated upon.
Right, but they don't want, I don't know why, but you can still probably get it on their app itself, and that's not going to put it out publicly. Now, one of the other interesting things about Robinhood is their recent regulatory filing showed that they earned $180 million from payments for order flow in the past year. In other words, there's nothing free about this service. In fact, when I did some further research on this, it seems from all the reporting, they are the most expensive trading platform on a free basis that it could be out there. They get the most money per share for order flow and poor execution overall.
So they do a crappy job.
Yeah, and they've been fined for this in the past of execution issues in the past. But nobody cares. The individual that looks at a game, they say the stock's at a $1.80 bid and a $1.95, and they put in a market order and they get a $1.95, let's say, which they possibly could have gotten, a $1.86. Not a big deal. If you're trading 5 shares, 100 shares. But, when you add that up over time, the cost factors is like when we went, when we had quarter spreads or half a dollar spreads on some stocks. You have to pay that internal range. And it's not free, gang. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not free. And you have a lot of companies like Citadel and a few others that are paying for this auto flow, and they pay for it because they know they can execute and get the spread almost on a freebie.
Hmm.
They know they could sell it in the market at a better price right away. Oh, well. Well, we have new garbage trucks. It seems that there was a big announcement. Electric garbage trucks. Nikola. The company that has been really rocking got this order of 2,500 battery electric refuse trucks, garbage trucks, from Republic Industry starting in 2023. Now, here's what's interesting about this. In what they described as a binding contract. Okay. Nikola's going to build garbage trucks at a factory that's under construction in Coolidge, Arizona. The company did not disclose how much they will charge for each truck, but Nikola said it's going to be, less than $500,000 each, and it's going to be a complete truck from start to finish what they produce.
How do we know? What does a garbage truck go for normally?
I guess it's a little over $500,000.
I find this hard to believe.
Well, I mean, it's a big truck. It's got moving parts. It's got a lot of metal.
It's a truck, for starters. They're not that expensive to make. And it usually has a couple moving parts. They got the bin that crushes the garbage and the thing that picks up the cans. I just don't see it. It seems too high.
And by the way, what's with these garbage guys? If they take the can up and they put it in the truck with the little arm that comes off, if they spill stuff, they don't get out and clean it. These are not the old time garbage guys that would clean up the stuff and make things nice.
No, not at all. It's all move along. Pick up the cans.
It was an
back.
Art.
They fall over.
It was an art to getting off the moving truck and getting back on the moving truck with that handle.
Well, that's when the guys were built. They were garbage men.
Yeah.
Yeah, they grab the can and dump it in a bigger can, and they haul the can in and throw it in by hand. Yeah, those days are over.
Over. Well, but here's the flip side. Republic says they will not make a deposit for its planned purchase. So you got a binding contract, supposedly in 2023. A company that hasn't built any of these yet, going to put out 2,500 of these things.
So there's not even one there's got to be a prototype.
I don't think so.
Oh, who's going to buy it? Some pig in a poke?
Garbage. Let's see if there's a picture of it. Images. Yeah, there's no.
I can do an image on my computer, too. Nope. I know how to use Photoshop.
Tesla rival Nikola scores trade deal. But that's an old, I don't see it. There's just all these truck pictures. There's no garbage truck on here. Ech. And it's all just CGI. Yeah, the truck is electric, not LNG. It's electric.
Does it have swappable batteries, or do they have to charge the truck?
I'm assuming they have to. I don't know. Swappable batteries would be better. Let's drive in, drop it, put a new one in, and move on, right?
Yeah, keep moving, yeah. Garbage guys, they take the truck out usually about, 6 or 7 in the morning in some places, and they're pretty much picking up and dropping off garbage and going back and forth and back and forth all day. Whether they put on 300, 400 miles, it's hard to say. But they could charge the truck overnight, I guess. Yeah, maybe.
Well, we'll see what happens. It could be interesting, but I don't know how they're going to get up to this 2,500, even in 2 years. I mean, even Tesla, that had these massive factories, couldn't build cars that fast. So we'll see. Retail earnings are out. Home Depot beat by 64 cents, beat on revenues. The comps were up 25% in the quarter-over-quarter basis over the year, for a second quarter over second quarter last year, which is pretty amazing. And everybody's, trying to spruce up their house because they're sick of the walls.
Right. There's nothing else to do. They're sick of looking at the same paintings.
Yeah. Got to do
something.
Same
color wall.
Yep. And probably there's a lot of people that are just getting some sledgehammers and just taking stuff down, just so aggravated, So a lot of good news there. The stock was close to an all-time high. Went nowhere on this news. I think that was all pretty much priced in. Kohl's came out with a report. It was a decent report, but one of the big problems is that, it's nothing really good. They had a big concern over back to school. One of the problems is that back to school makes up, 20 to 25% of some of these companies' total revenue for the year?
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
I didn't know Kohl's was open.
Yeah, still in business. Well, that too will be an Amazon distribution center eventually. Kohl's dealers had a nice report last week too, and then it just dropped right off. But here's what's interesting: when you look inside the Dillard's report, what they did was used a carry forward of tax credits. There was a law passed where there was a certain amount of tax credits from or tax carry forwards that couldn't be brought forward for some time. Okay. So they were sitting on the books. And there was a law that was passed, I think it was in the CARES Act possibly, that allowed for companies to take all these things back that were sitting on there and bring them forward and then recognize these now as if they occurred now. So what would do is it would take all these expenses and wipe all this off and make it like you had a much better overall gain on your account. So that's some of the trickery that's going on right now with a lot of companies.
Cooking the books.
Yep. So if it wasn't for that, they would have had a massive loss. So this is just financial engineering at its best. But meanwhile, what happens is, and this is really important. I don't mean to lecture and get all sentimental about this, but folks, listen, there's a lot of weirdness going on right now with tax law, with financial engineering and trickery, and headline, I would say headline nonsense that isn't going to be actually playing out for long. So not on every stock, but there's definitely stocks that are doing this. Walmart beat by 31 cent. It comps on a quarter over quarter yearly basis was plus 9.3%. A lot better. Also worrying about what's going on with back to school orders. So there you go. More tax cuts are on the way. President Trump said he's very seriously considering a capital gains tax cut. I think we talked about this a little bit, but he's also considering a capital gains tax cut because he said that it's going to create a lot more jobs. So maybe accountants?
yeah, I don't know whose jobs is going to create. It's going to create a lot more people. Well, what's going to, you know, it's not, means no one's going to be selling anything until after the election. That's one thing for sure.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to get a better deal on your capital gains, like sometime next year, why would you just hold on to your long-term stocks?
Yep. This is it. It's all about the election. It is. You know, let's take a moment to talk about this virus issue for a second. Would you believe, would you think that a virus would die under extreme cold or extreme heat? Or maybe am I not right about that?
They should.
Because two cities in China have found traces of the new coronavirus in cargoes of imported frozen food. So the world
cargoes of imported food to China?
Yeah.
Sending.
So it was the sample was taken from the surface of frozen chicken wings imported from the southern city of Shenzhen from Brazil. And the samples of outer packaging of frozen Ecuadorian shrimp sold in the northwest city of Xi'an, having tested positive for the virus. They had Ecuadorian shrimp and Brazilian chicken wings.
I'm skeptical.
I don't get it. I mean, is it possible that they're using tests in the... I don't even understand that. I don't understand. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm reminded of a story I wrote for the Examiner in the mid-1980s when they had this... all of a sudden, they stopped the grape importing from Chile because someone had been supposedly poisoning the grapes with strychnine.
Oh.
And out of the tonnage of grapes, they found two pinpricks on two grapes amongst this tonnage of grapes that they were importing, table grapes.
Who's looking through all the grapes?
Well, and then they had a picture of one of the grapes with a pinprick in it.
Oh.
And that's what I was thinking. And so then all of a sudden, well, they released the grapes because of, you know, some conflict going on somewhere. And they made up this phony baloney story. And I wrote about it a couple of times saying, can we follow up on this? These two pinpricks amongst 10 million individual grapes that somehow someone discovered. It was bull crap.
Yeah.
And that's what I think we're dealing with here.
Yeah, it seems to be a little hysteria. But I mean, they're being careful, but it seems a little bit weird. That they check that exact spot on that exact chicken wing.
Yeah.
Out of the thousands of chicken wings.
Sounds unlikely.
Yeah. Domino's Pizza announcing Monday that it will hire more than 20,000 employees nationwide for positions including delivery drivers, pizza makers, customer service representatives, managers, and assistant managers.
Why are they hiring so many?
And people are buying pizza and having it delivered. I could use a pizza right now.
I don't think so.
The company. Do you have any good pizza by you?
We have lots of pizza by me.
Good pizza?
Yeah, we got the Chicago style pizza that's outstanding. Two different variations of it. There's one. My favorite places up on one of the streets has a wood fired oven. They make perfect Italian style pizza. It's exactly what you get a margarita pizza, just like you get in Italy. And yeah, there's a lot of pizza.
Yeah, have you had Domino's?
Top pizza guys in the world is over in San Francisco at Tony's Pizza. He wins all the competitions.
Do you eat Domino's?
No, God, no.
What about that pizza from, what is that?
I don't eat any of those commercial pizzas.
The worst. So bad. So bad. So cheap, but so bad.
No, they're always cheap.
Yeah. They're also hiring for production and warehouse team members as well as CDL drivers. Oh, CDL. Commercial delivery something? I don't know what that means. Yeah, Little Caesars, thanks. And the company's also saw a 16% spike in second quarter sales as compared to a year ago, which I don't think that's unreasonable. But that stock's been on fire.
It's stunning.
Yeah. New York real estate, not looking so good. Not looking good. I don't think we would expect it to look good for a lot of different reasons. Much, you know, we had the salt tax issue, first of all, right? People were leaving because of that, or the lack of deductibility of state and local taxes from your tax return, which people that were paying a lot of money in that had a nice deduction from their house. They're like, hey, at least I got a deduction on my taxes. Nope. So that's number one. Number two, of course, a lot of people are the whole de-urbanization process is going on, not to mention the forced lockdowns and misery of New York and the high taxes and now the problem with, you know, the state. Well, they're facing record apartment vacancies leading to lower rents across the
state. Nope. This is not going to be pretty.
Nope, not at all. The Hartford Current reported that, by the way, the Hartford Current, for some reason, is spelled like the fruit. C-O-U-R-A-N-T. Isn't that how you spell the current fruit?
No, C-U-R-R-A-N-T. No, the fruit's spelled differently.
So this is the Hartford Current, C-O-U-R-A-N-T. I guess it's like restaurant with an E at the end. You know, it's a restaurante. The Hartford Current. They reported more than 16,000 New Yorkers switched their residence to Connecticut during the first 3 months of the pandemic, starting in March. And some movers reported residents swapping from New York to California, Florida, Texas, and even North Carolina.
Yeah, those would be the states.
The drastic shift.
Although people are leaving California because of the tax situation here, and they're moving to Texas. Texas is it, and Florida is a good spot because it doesn't have any personal income tax. Neither does Texas. I think North Carolina does.
Well, take a look at this chart here. The drastic shift has resulted in a record 13,000 plus vacant apartments across Manhattan in July.
Yikes, this chart's terrible.
Yeah, you would hope it's upside down.
Yeah, record breaking.
Yeah, they're.
Well, it's not going to get any better anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think this. Let's see what this is. Uptown is not seeing as much as a vacancy, but you're seeing a massive vacancy in downtown and what is the other one? East, West Side. So they're moving on out.
Yeah, with good reason.
I mean, I hope they don't.
I mean, you got to remember, besides the state income tax, there's also a city income tax in New York.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, listen, I'm a New Yorker. I came down here in 87, but the last thing that I want is New Yorkers coming down here. They come down here, they're like, yeah, we know everything about Florida. Like, why do you have to be so, why do you have to be like that? You know, why do you have to almost be like, well, I'm from New York, so I know everything. And we're coming to Florida, like your small city. And, you know, we've been down here on vacations. We've gone down to Palm Springs, you know, Palm Beach.
Oh, they do the same thing when they come to California. Oh,
so annoying.
They're pompous.
Yeah. I think I was like that when I first came down here,
when
too.
I'm out here is a good New York pizza.
Right. Yeah, you can't get any good pizza.
I'll tell you, I've had tons of, I'm going to just a little quick on the side. I've had tons of New York pizza. I've been to the different Ray's. I've been to good pizza places there, but most of the pizza in New York, that when they talk about New York pizza, is like Ray's. And there's like 10 different chains of Ray's pizza.
And they're not even there anymore. Everything's Ray's and they all suck now.
And they all taste like what we used to have in San Francisco. There used to be a Woolworths at the bottom of Powell Street where the cable car was. And in that Woolworths, they sold pizza. And that pizza at Woolworths is what New Yorkers say is the best pizza. I mean, it was just, it's greasy. It's not a good pizza. Mm. I think New York pizza, the way they make it in New York and there's the Ray's style of pizzas, it's just not that good. It's just greasy and cheesy.
I like La Scala out in Comac, Long Island. I mean,
well, I can't say I've had that, so I can't talk about it.
Delicious. Well, there's a couple of places down here. There's Frankie Meatballs. He's an okay pizza, but I'm lactose intolerant.
I wonder where Frankie Meatballs went.
Yeah, Frankie Meatballs down here. Why was that over there?
You're lactose intolerant?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I have pizza. It's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. So I got to stay away from that. I mean, I would eat. It's not the same without the cheese, but I'd eat it without just the crust. I mean, every once in a while I'll have pizza, but it's like, you know what? I'm not going out for a late night. So, or ice cream. Not good. So, anyway, I think I do think that's going to continue. Well, where else is it? Moving out of California, right? They're moving out of what other cities? Chicago? Probably going to move out of there too. Anywhere that if you're stuck in your house and you don't have the ability to go into the city to really have that entertainment and all the things that you would have in the city and with all the crap going on, why would you even stay? I don't understand.
It makes no sense. The city has a purpose. And if all those reasons to be in the city are gone, why would you stay in the city? It's overpriced.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, just a side note, so I don't forget about this. I want to bring this up, but number one, no agenda. If you haven't listened, if you don't know what it is, well, you have to listen. Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak on Thursdays and Sundays at 12 o'clock live stream, 3 hours or so of just superb breakdown of the news. When you talk to Adam on Thursday, have him adjust your microphone with you. Just not right. Just not right. He's good at that. Just saying. Okay?
Sure.
Something just doesn't sound like it always did. Something's not right.
I don't know. It's the same everything, but.
I have you pushed up really hot right now.
Okay, we'll fix it later. Yeah.
All right. Wuhan. You know, this is where supposedly the coronavirus emanated from, right? The China flu. So they haven't had an outbreak since, or they haven't had a domestic transfer case since May. I'm not exactly sure how they figured that out, but let's just go with it, okay? So I guess things are open. And this is a picture of a pool party that happened, I guess, over the weekend.
Yikes.
It's
is there even, look at that. Can I blow this up? No. Not really?
It's just a sea of people. Now, I don't know if somebody took this. I saw some video too. So it's not like one of those pictures that they photoshopped, copy and paste in the background to look like all people. But it is in the pool. There is people on rafts, and it's wall to wall people. And like I said,
where in Wuhan is this? Lake Wuhan?
It's a pool. Let's see. Wuhan.
Pool this big in the world.
Wuhan pool. Wuhan pool party. Wuhan hosts massive water party.
I question the authenticity of this photo.
It's at a water park.
Even at a water park, this thing is like to the horizon with people.
I know, but you can look at all the other. Yeah, there's another picture of it. You can look at all the other pictures from different angles. Look at that picture. There's a guy coming out of the water on one of those jet ski things. It's unbelievable. You can watch them. Go watch a video. You'll see a video with this from another angle and all the people.
Yeah, okay, I'll check it out.
It's unbelievable. So they were definitely getting jiggy. Unbelievable. So we'll see what happens. Now, what do you think about all these schools closing?
The teachers don't want to work. They want to make everybody's life miserable because the teachers' unions, they hate Trump, and they're trying to do anything to make it so, you know, Trump gets kicked. They think it's going to help get Trump out of office somehow. They don't want to go back to school. They're all freaky. I mean, it's unbelievable. This is these teachers.
I can't imagine they don't want to go back to school at this point. I mean, they must be crawling the walls.
Well, it doesn't seem like it.
Well, but the schools that were closed, what was it? We had Ithaca with a little mini outbreak, and we had another
mini outbreak of deaths or a mini outbreak of cases.
Cases, no, there were cases, but there was like 160 in 2 days back to school. It was like 160 cases.
I'm questioning all this.
It seems to me it's a petri dish for problems because a lot of these people are just going to go out to the bars, do their thing, be close, and make a nookie.
Keep the bars closed.
Well, then the kids aren't going to come to school, so. We'll see. Sent an email out today to the folks with my fish picture, by the way, to our mailing list. I haven't sent anything out to them in about a year. So that's your once a year newsletter.
That fish picture is the best.
Yeah, that great. So, well, you know, and by the way, if you're enjoying the show, you can, well, happily donate over on dhunplug.com. Little yellow button. It's oh so pretty that says, well, donate or do nate if you want on there. And it helps the show, helps us all out. As a matter of fact, it helps us with the close to the pin and all that. So definitely, if you're enjoying the show, if you get some great ideas, if you got some insights that are, you know, worthwhile. And if, in fact, we're killing some of the boredom that you have from staying home and definitely tonight watching the, you know, giving you an alternative to watching the DNC convention. Right? So...
yeah, that should be a thrill.
That should be worth a lot. That should be worth a lot. All right, so we have, you owe me a price for Macy's.
Yes, I will have that in the mail right after the show.
Okay, thank you. And we are having just a few more days left to get your price guesses in for Macy's, which was down 10% today, by the way. I guess it was on the news of Walmart and the concern from Kohl's of what happened there with their, I mean... again, I don't know why they just don't just put a pin in it and be done with it. It's over.
What, shutter Macy's like you would Penny's?
Penny's isn't even shuttered yet. Sears isn't shuttered yet.
Yeah, well, they should be.
These things just go on for, it's just like the walking dead. Crazy. Anyway, you can go over to the site also and put in your price guess. And if you are the closest to the price on the close, which the closing date official will be the 28th. So you have until the 21st to get into your price guess. You can get a beautiful shirt, a DH Unplugged original DH Unplugged fan shirt. So there you go. Just want to take 1 minute and ask you if you're following this whole, I don't even know what you call it, the whole Ellen DeGeneres hoo-ha?
A little bit. My wife actually knows her, and so does her one of her best friends who Ellen used to flirt with. And Ellen's a known mean person amongst the comedians.
I never really cared for her. I just didn't like her sense of humor.
She's very dry. She has a dry sense of humor.
Yeah, it didn't do it.
And I've always thought she was pretty professional, but she really seems to be a angry, unhappy person.
So there's a discussion that some of the people, the top three producers, there's some investigation into misconduct allegations, and Ed Gavin, Kevin Lehman, and Jonathan Norman are leaving or parting ways with the show, and big staff changes. There's also some weird, have you heard of this Wayfair child trafficking phenomenon thing?
This seems like just a created malarkey. I don't know what the point of it is. I haven't even followed it that closely. It just seems like nonsense.
The discussion was there was some furniture, let's say a clothing cabinet that had the name of, let's call it Michelle. You know, the design is, this is the Michelle boudoir, you know, or something, whatever it was called. And it was going for like $22,000. It's like, what kind of shelving unit goes for $22,000 on Wayfair? You follow what I'm saying? But supposedly that was code for,
sure,
you know, it would be a young woman that's being smuggled in.
Yeah.
That you'll be somebody buying, you know, something or other. So I don't get it. It seems a little weird to me.
Well, the whole thing seems, I don't know. I don't personally, I haven't looked into it enough. It seems like just a lot of kind of Pizzagate kind of stuff. Just.
Yep. All right. We have some limericks to do, and then we have some stocks to talk about. Let's see. I want to mention the Disciplined Investor podcast. I also want to mention, can I just mention something? Good time. Market top, market high, market record. Good time to start thinking about a long short strategy. Hit us up over on thedisciplinedinvestor.com to check out one of our strategies. We talk about all the different things that are involved in it, but kind of a good way to diversify. But also this week we had a Fed insider on the Disciplined Investor podcast. She was really informative, and you could check her out. And then
the number one takeaway?
Well, that they're just way off the reservation. They're way outside the bounds of what they are supposed to be doing, their mandates, you know, and the $7 trillion that are now on their balance sheets and just, you know, continuing on, and, you know, the inability for them to get even close to reducing that down, even when things were really good, is just a real problem. So they got to continue the whole process. We have one of the chief architects of TradingView coming on this week. And the week before that, who was that? We had some good guests. We had like four guests in a row that were unbelievable on the Disciplined Investor podcast. Okay. Let's see here.
Limericks.
Oh, yeah. Limericks. Okay. You're going to do the old whistle wetter. First limerick in from Jim Balfour. Let me get my pen.
His name in the banking community.
Yeah. Okay, the Fed's got a master plan to turn us into Japan. Free money for all, they're having a ball, but we know all shit shows eventually end in the can.
You know, this was actually looked like it might work. Start it was getting there.
Yeah.
And then the last line is the length of the entire poem. I'm giving it a C minus.
I mean, he would have done the having a ball to turn us to Japan, but as we know, it's going to end in the can. That could have been it, right? A shit show ending
shorter.
In the can.
There's better ways he could have gone.
Yeah.
He blew it at the end. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Okay. Next one is from Pro Barkey. Pro Barkey. When Powell came chair of the Fed, all the markets were full steam ahead. Till along came a virus, then junk bonds he buys us, and now he's in over his head.
Well, that one I like. I think the rhythm could have been a little better. It could have been, I'm not going to say you read it poorly, but and I don't think you did. It's just, I'll give it a B.
A B.
I think it was a good. It was good. It was timely. It was topical. It had something to say.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Maratia. He writes, the Fed expands the balance sheet. No care for average man's beat. Steady as she goes until she all blows, the PhDs admiring their feet.
Yeah. Well, the second line's no good.
What's wrong with the second line didn't work for me at all.
No, second line's no good. So the thing is a fail right there. I would give it a C minus, another C minus. Yeah, the idea was good, but it wasn't well structured.
You know, so. I'm going to get a professional limerick. Like a limerick that's been written and has a lot of praise out there. Like one of those old ones, right?
Well, yeah, why don't you get two of those, read those as examples to show people some direction.
Yeah, I gotta
we're
do
just
that.
Criticizing them without giving them any, except saying this line stinks or that sucks. It's no good. People don't learn from that.
And I'm going to show you how my reading is not the problem all the time.
Well, is somebody in the chat room chiding your
reading?
Oh,
they hit me.
There's one guy there who hates you.
Yeah, Andrew's read. Andrew's read sucks. Sucks. It's all Andrew. All right. Well, this is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures.
All right,
you take the list, sir.
It's not bad. I mean, Fastly seems to be the one that was a big winner, finally got kicked off, but we have Medtronic is making money. Alphabet, which is my, short has not done well. It's down 12%. Smith & Wesson is up 56%. Of course, IBM, which, was my, short is up, but it's dead money. Social Capital SPAC is down very slightly. It's no good. Trane Technologies was a winner. That was, I think, one of the two winners on here. And that's your buy. That was a good one. Also, my short of Planet Fitness is up a good 11%. The banks are – a couple of banks are up barely. My latest bank is up only 0.3. And there's not much else going on. Shopify, which is another loser, was one of mine momentum pick is down 7%.
Well, I have one for this week.
Yeah, I see it.
And I'm going to put a long on here. I got mostly shorts that I've been going with, but I'm going to go with Momo. Symbol M-O-M-O. Momo. This is a Chinese, we'll call it social media. And, you know, if we're going to see some problems with the U.S. making some, you know, difficulty for China for some of the names that are publicly traded here, we may see some interest in some of the smaller names that really don't have so much of a, you know, U.S. presence.
So, could be.
Momo.
There's a couple electric cars Momo. And people like that. I have one.
Yeah.
This is a buy on bad news. It was in the show today, too. Buy on bad news and sell on good news. There's no good news when it comes to New York real estate. So I'm going to go long with ESBA. It's a real estate investment trust. It's down. It's a descending triangle. This chart looks like a winner.
Empire State Realty. Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
It's an LP too.
It was right.
ESBA. Hmm. It was down zero. It didn't move today.
Yeah, so I think it may have bottomed out a while ago. Chris may stay there forever, I mean, which is also possible.
And then has it been moving, though?
Not to any extreme, but yeah, it's been going around. I mean, if you're going to go month by month, it's been bouncing around. There's a lot of gaps. It's a mess. But it's like, this looks like a bottom to me. Looks like a messy bottom.
Let's see here. Let me look at this here real quickly. ESBA. ESBA. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just fumbling along. Huh. Interesting. All right. Very good. All right. Well, then we're going to end it a little bit early tonight because we had like kind of a really tough start. I'm going to check all my settings to make sure I'm right because, again, you're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You're pushed up to 8, and you're usually at 6. So I'm not sure what that's about. Maybe it's something in my system. I don't know.
But, could be anything.
Yep, could be. Could be Skype. We could blame it on Skype because that's always the good one to blame
Skype's
it on.
Yeah, it's junk.
I will see all right. I'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.